lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that after, when he inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The devil is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Every aim, every thought, every desire, every interest, every ambition of the devil is to get every soul he can to go to hell.
Amen. Amen.
Get every Christian that he can wrecked. Get every home that he can broke up. Get every kingdom and nation defied. He's in the wreckage business. And my friends, wherever the devil is, he's set out to devour and destroy and defeat and degenerate and deteriorate and head you to degradation and ruination and damnation. And you see him doing it in lives every way you turn. Every way you look, there's men and women and boys and girls who are being deteriorated and degenerated and headed to degradation and ruination and damnation because they followed in the paths of the devil. That's his interest. That's his all of his interest. Everything about him is designed to wreck and burn and to destroy and to devour. Every interest of God, my friends, is to bring about salvation and bring about the savage of life. Every step away from God is down the hill, and the further from God you go, the further down you go. Every step toward God's higher up, and the further towards God you go, the higher up you get. There's a low way that opens into every man and a highway, and every man shall decide which way he shall go. That's left with you to decide it. The preacher won't decide it. The deacons won't decide it. Mom and dad and the guardian and nobody else will decide it. We're free moral agents, and we have a right to decide whether we'll go the highway or the low way.
Amen.
The salvation way or the damnation way is left to the individual. And so there's two mighty moving forces in this universe tonight, and one of them is the devil's forces. And the other of them is the force of God, and they are, my friends, the devil is fighting against everything that God's got, trying to devour everybody that he can. Then while you would play in his hands when you know he's a devourer and a destroyer, seems to me to be foolish. You wouldn't dare run out in the midst of a bunch of mad dogs and play with them. You wouldn't dare run out in the midst of a bunch of panthers and wildcats and punch at them and play with them without any protection. You wouldn't dare jump in a pit or fire. And my friends, yet you're playing with a devil and playing in the hands of the devil and fooling around with him when you know he's a devourer and destroyer. And it's headed to destroy you and to wreck you and damn you. Why would you, as an intelligent human being, play in the hands of such a person as Satan, Lucifer? Now, the devil's got a lot of different ways of keeping you from getting saved and trying to send you to hell. Number one is, he gets you to have some excuse for not being a Christian. Every one of you that sit here tonight that are not saved by the grace of God, the devil's give you a bunch of excuses for not being saved. If I should come and ask you the personal question tonight, why are you not a Christian? You'd hand me some kind of an excuse. And it may be a perfectly good excuse. It may be a perfectly normal excuse, legitimate excuse, perfectly reasonable excuse. My friends, the devil doesn't care what kind of an excuse it is, as long as he can get you to use it to go to hell on.
Amen.
Perfectly good excuse. Fine excuse. He doesn't care. What difference does it make with him, whether it's good or bad, legitimate or unlegitimate. It makes no difference with the devil tonight, ladies and gentlemen. What kind of an excuse you use, and you keep using it. And I'll tell you this, as soon as you get one excuse out of the way, he'll hand you another.
Amen.
As soon as you wear out one excuse, he's got a sack of them. He'll hand you another.
Amen.
But every one of you that tonight that's not saved has got an excuse. And God didn't give it to you. You know what God said? He said in the first chapter of the book of Romans, because of the manifestation of the eternal Godhead, in creation, you'll be without excuse in that day. What is he simply saying? Because God has so manifested himself in creation, in the Godhead, that no man will have an excuse when he faces God. Amen. God put three joints in your fingers, three joints in your limbs, three parts of your eye, three parts to your brain, three parts to your body, flesh, blood, and bone, three parts to the tree, heart, sap, and bark, three parts to creation, mineral life, plant life, animal life. Everything God ever created is in three parts.
Amen.
And the other two won't function.
Amen.
If one's absent, one third of your eyes gone, the other two's no good. One third of your brain gone, the other two's no good.
Amen.
One third of your body's gone, the other two's no good. One third of a tree's gone, the other two's no good. In creation, if one third of creation's gone, the other two won't work.
Amen.
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 And God has simply said, if you don't believe a preacher, if you don't believe the Bible, if you don't hear nothing else, I'll send you to hell because you didn't see me in creation.
Amen.
Amen.
Everything about your body declares God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And he'll send you to hell for not seeing that. I never have seen Christianity from them church people, them preachers. All I've seen is hypocrisy. I never have seen Christianity church. Well, you've seen God in creation, and he'll send you to hell because you didn't see that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead.
So don't you run around, honey, thinking you're going to throw some excuse in God's face. He said, in that day you will be without excuse.
Amen.
Amen.
And God meant what he said.
Amen.
You say, I don't believe it. But God settled it, and that settles it. Well, you believe it or don't believe it.
That's right.
Some fellow said the other day, God said it, and I believe it, and that says, God said it, that said it, whether you or me, anybody else, please.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Settle. And I want you to realize that now. Mean that's why you believe it or not. God said it, it's settled.
Amen.
Amen.
And God said, you'll be without excuse, and that last day will nobody have no excuse. And if you ride around in your excuse wagon, trying to accuse yourself not being a Christian, I will tell you straight forward, face to face, you won't have an excuse when you face the judgment.
Amen.
Amen.
God said so. And he ain't going to lie to save your hide.
Amen.
Amen.
And rest assured of that.
That's right.
Then, my friends, we look again. And the devil, you say, well, I got good intentions. I'm going to get saved. The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Amen.
Your intention ain't going to save. It's going to take Jesus to save him.
Amen.
Then the devil's got another way of getting folks to hell. And that way is by putting a bunch of scarecrows in our churches. You know what I mean by scarecrow? They're having scarecrows in the package over here. You know,
yeah.
They take a piece of board nailed together and put a coat on and a hat on and stick it up out there and they call it a scarecrow. The birds and the crows come along and look at me and think it's a man out there. They won't get in and take the corn and eat the watermelons.
Amen.
They call them scarecrows. Or they hang tin pans or toy snakes up in cherry trees to keep the birds from eating fruit. In other words, it's scarecrows. And the birds and the crows come along and see something out there and it scares them out and they don't get in and eat the fruit. Well, now, the devil set a bunch of scarecrows in the churches. Now, you call them hypocrites. Well, I call them scarecrows.
Amen.
Amen.
But you know them as hypocrites. Oh, I see a bunch of hypocrites in the church. Well, who hadn't?
Amen.
You ain't got nothing on me, honey. I see some in there, too.
Amen.
You ain't telling me a thing. Who put them in there? My Bible said the Lord added to the church daily such as are saved.
Amen.
Amen.
But you won't find a Bible where God added the hypocrite.
That's right.
Amen.
He said a man went out to sow wheat and then he came and sowed tares in the wheat to cover up the wheat. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God planted a bunch of Christians in his churches, but the devil's put a bunch of hypocrites in there to try to smell out the
hypocrite. Amen.
Now, every hypocrite that's in anybody's church, God didn't put them in there. The devil put them in there.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And the devil just had one purpose for putting them in there. You know what it was? So you look at them and go to hell.
That's right.
So the devil's a lot smarter than you are.
Amen.
You're so stupid you can't see it.
Yeah.
But the devil's so smart. He knew you'd see some old hypocrite in the church and run back. I don't want to be in that, them hypocrites. I don't want to be in that, them hypocrites. Well, what do you reckon the devil put them in there for?
Amen.
To scare you out.
Amen.
Keep you from getting saved. He knew you'd run back out and say, I don't want to be in that, them hypocrites. He knew you would. He knew you'd run back and drop into hell looking at them.
Yeah.
Bagging up. So you see, he's outsmarted you.
Yeah.
He put hypocrites in the church so you'd see them and go to hell looking at them, and you haven't even got sense enough to see that that's why they're in there.
Amen. Amen.
Just like the old scarecrow in the truck pack. Well, that thing wouldn't hurt the crows and birds. They went in there and picked up a melon and eat up every tomato in the back.
Yes,
but they don't. They can't see it. They picked something in there. And you see a bunch in the church, and you think, look at them hypocrites in church. I ain't gonna be there. I know some preachers, perseverate, that's crooked. I know plenty of them.
Amen. Amen.
I know a bunch of them so crooked they'll have to screw the coffin on them when they're dead.
Yeah. Amen.
And I know a bunch of deacons so crooked they'll have to screw the shirt on.
Yeah. Amen.
And I know some church members so sorry and soggy they won't make good kin in wooden hell.
Amen.
They in our churches.
Amen.
This church has some of them.
Yeah.
Any other church has some of them.
You're right.
Matter of fact, for your information, there never has been a church without a hypocrite.
Amen.
Jesus selected 12. And got one crook, old Judas Iscariot, who was never saved.
Right.
He betrayed the Son of God.
Amen.
When we take in 300 or 400, we're not half as smart as he is. We're bound to get some crooks.
Amen.
Sure, we got hypocrites in the church. I ain't gonna lie to you. You say, well, preacher, that's just it. I don't want to be in there with them. Huh? You don't want to be in there with them? You done in there with them.
Amen.
They're the devil's young ones. And if you're a lost sinner, you're one of the devil's young, got the same papa.
Amen.
Amen.
Put you in a sack and shake you up, couldn't tell which you'd pull out first. You're the hypocrite.
Amen.
In the same boat, headed to the same place, with the same man of the devil, to hell.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, the only way you can keep being in that hypocrite's get born again and get in God's family.
Yeah.
That's the only way. To be sure, I know we got a bunch of hypocrites. But my friends, if you're going to wait for the hypocrites to get out of church before you get saved, you just go on home, get a summer suit on, get a fan in your hand, and get ready for a warm climate. You're fixing to split hell wide open.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Never has been a church without a hypocrite, and there never will be. So if you're going to wait for the hypocrites to be cleared out of the church, you'll be waiting when you burn them in hell.
Right.
Now that's the truth. You as well digest it. I know they're in there. I'm ashamed they're in there. But I made up my mind in 1932 I wasn't going to go to hell of all that bunch of stinkers.
Amen.
And I got saved.
Hey.
Hypocrites or no hypocrites, I ain't going to hell.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, there's so many. Yeah. For you to my friends, you know, when, as I've said once before since I've been here, when I was a boy, we'd get out in the country, you know, out in the yard, or walking down the road together, and I'd put my head traveling ways to go like cars and things. And we'd walk along a starlight night, and you'd see what the we call a starfall, and you've seen them.
Yeah.
They tell us that's shooting meters. I don't know what it is. But anyway, it looks like a star up in the sky. Down she comes. People be walking along and say, look, starfall! Starfall! And everybody gets so excited. But they forget about the million that's still shining.
Right.
Don't have a spell over that.
Amen.
Amen.
Let some preacher, deacon, or some school teacher run. Well, bless God, why don't you look at a bunch of us that hadn't
failed? Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Some of us still living for God. God. Or do you want to get over some fallen star and get excited? Won't you look at some of the shiny ones?
Yeah, right, man. Amen.
Keep that in mind, friend. Then another way the devil's got to get folks to hell, not only getting you to some excuse and getting you to watch the hypocrites, and he's got thousands of ways, but one of his other major ways is this. He got all the demons together and said, tell me what's the best way to get folks in hell. One of them said, let's tell them Jesus Christ, the bastard, wasn't born of the Son of God. That's the Son of God. He's a bastard. The devil said, sit down. People know better than that. Another got him said, let's tell them when a man dies, he's like a stump. That's all of them. The devil said, sit down. Anybody knows better than that. Another said, let's tell them that God made some promises in the Bible that he can't make good. The devil said, he never has failed. Shut up. Another got him said, I tell you, let's tell them that Jesus Christ don't save folks. The devil said, well, anybody that's ever tried him knows better than that. One of them stood up and said, Mr. Lucifer, I got the answer. We're going to go to church and sit down by the sinners and say, look, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, and every word in the Bible is truth, spoken God's inspired men, and God's promises, every word of it's good, he'll make it good, he'll stand on it as he said it. And Jesus Christ did come to save. And there is a hereafter, there's a hell and a heaven. And hills are like a thorn brimstone where the worms die out, where the paws never quit. And what do you do? Get saved. Don't go to hell to be sure of everything. Don't go to hell. And the old said, wait a minute, that ain't going to work. He said, sit down till he gets through. He went back and said, we'll go to church and we'll say, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Word of God is truth. There is a hell, there is a heaven. God's word is truth, and you better get saved. And whatever you do, don't you go to hell. Hell's a lake of fire where there's weeping, gnashing of teeth. Hell's a place where there's neither rest day nor night. Hell's a place where the grapes of gall and cruel din and the vast were poured out upon you. The wrath of God, where God's going to get finished. Hell is an awful place. You better listen to that preacher. He's telling you the truth. He's preaching the word. There is a hell. It's full of worms that never die. It's a fire that can never be quenched. It's a lake of fire. You'll never rest again. You'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. Whatever you do, get saved and don't go to hell. Get saved. But not tonight.
Amen.
Not now.
Amen.
Amen.
Devil said, thank you. We'll use that. And they've been used it ever since.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
When you get the point of getting saved and getting pressed into the kingdom of God, you come and start on, leave it off! Leave it off! That's what the devil hollering.
Amen.
Not now. I'm going to get saved, but not now. Not tonight. Not now. You can uncap hell tonight and tune in on it. Everybody in hell will tell you one thing. They didn't intend to go to hell.
Amen.
They didn't plan to go to hell. They didn't want to go to hell. How come I'm going to go to hell? Not now.
Amen.
Yeah. Not tonight.
Amen.
Right. For the next service, there's in hell.
Amen.
They didn't plan to go. They had no intention to go. They didn't want to go. But all of a sudden, they went without God and is in hell. They said, not tonight. Not now. Just one time to me. And before they got to say it again, it's dead and in hell. And that's the way they went to hell. I don't believe you'll never make me, you can't beat my head enough to make believe anybody went to hell wanting to go.
Amen.
I don't believe anybody intended to go to hell. How come they go? I'm not ready right now. Not tonight. Not now.
Amen.
Why did you say, but not now? Not ready. Not tonight.
Yes. Yes.
For the next time, there's hell. Unintentionally, they didn't. They went there. They didn't intend it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's four grave dangers in going to hell. Four grave dangers in putting off your soul's salvation. Number one is, God said, boast not of thyself of tomorrow, because you know not what another day will bring forth. Your life is as a vapor, and Venus is gone. Today is the day of salvation. And if you should hear the voice of God, harden not your heart. Now is the accepted time. Boast not of thyself of tomorrow. Seek ye the Lord while he be found. Call upon him while he's near. That means he won't always be found.
That's right. Amen.
That means he won't always be near. If you hear the voice of God, harden not your heart. Seek him while you can find him. Call on him while he's close. My spirit shall always strive with men. And if God's spirit could strive with men, you have
him. Amen.
Amen.
And God himself said, my spirit will always strive with men. God said, boast not of thyself for tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Seek him while you can find. Call on him while he's near. The devil said, oh, you got plenty of time. Don't let the preacher scare you. Don't let anybody scare you. You got plenty of time. Preacher, I'll get saved when I get ready. The devil told you that dirty lie.
Amen.
Amen. You'll not get saved when you get ready. You'll get saved when God's ready, or you don't get saved.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, no man come unto me except the Father draw him.
Right.
And if the Spirit of God isn't drawing you, you can't get any more get saved than the devil can.
Right.
Now this old bitch getting saved when I get ready, that's a bunch of hell stuff.
Right.
You get saved when God's ready, or you won't get saved.
Amen.
And just keep that in mind. God don't have to run down, jump down your throat when you get ready. And I want you to realize one thing. God said, now is the time, today is the day, and don't brag about tomorrow, and harden not your heart. My spirit will not always strive with men. Listen to it. The foot of the wicked shall slide in due time. For I tell you, come upon them, shall make haste. He that's often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall be suddenly destroyed. Shall be suddenly destroyed. And that without a remedy.
Amen.
Cut him down. Why let him come to the ground? When God gets through, he's through.
Amen. Yes.
He's done.
That's right.
I want you to know one thing tonight. 21 times, as I said, I think last evening, I repeat it for emphasis. 21 times in this book, God said the lost man dies suddenly, or he dies in a coma without the consciousness of dying.
Amen.
21 times in this book, God said if you die without God, you go suddenly, or in an unconscious, deluded mind. Therefore, if you die without God, you'll either die a sudden death or God will lie 21 times. And God ain't going to lie to save your life.
Amen.
So you're gone. As sure as you're in this church meeting house tonight, as sure as God sits on the throne, as sure as this is the inspired word of God, if you die without God, you'll die a sudden death.
Amen.
Amen. As I've traveled across this nation, seen it over and over and over and over. I was in a tent meeting in Mississippi some time ago. We was hoping to establish a church in an area there wasn't one. Two men who was in defiance of it got in their automobiles and say, we'll go up there and drag that blankety-blank preacher out of the pulpit and beat hell out of him. He ain't gonna preach in this community. But a half a mile from the tent, they had already tore both of them off to pieces. They never stopped the meeting. There's a church house standing now where that tent stood.
Yes.
They're burning in hell tonight.
Amen.
God don't have to put up with just any old stuff.
Amen.
He's no playboy. I talked to a man, young fella, had a garage in a filling station. I'd drive up and buy gas from him, talk to him about becoming Christian. He'd say, "Preacher, I ain't ready. Now get ready, I'll get saved. I ain't ready yet." And I said, "Joe, you gonna fool around and go to hell?" He said, "Not me." I said, "Yes, you are. I'm busy, don't bother me." And I'd catch him sitting out in front, whipping on a stick. Not doing anything. I'd drive in, he'd jump in and start doing something, so he'd call him, "Busy, don't bother." He knew what was coming for him. One day I said, "Joe, you're going to busy yourself in hell." He said, "Not me. I got too much sense to go to hell. I'm too smart for that person." Right? 3 weeks later, closed up his garage on Saturday night and got him some whiskey and got drunk and started over to the next town. Started over across Muddy Creek River. Lost control of his car because he's drunk and plunged into the river. Wrecked his car like to kill him. And he finally got out of the wrecked car like to drown it getting out. Got up on the highway and it's 11 above zero, one of those blizzardous nights when a northern is struck. Soon his clothes was frozen on his body, and soon his body was numb and he fell in the road. Somebody come along, picked him up and rushed him home. They rushed him to his home, they wrapped him in warm blankets, put a warm coffin down him, got the doctors and he shot stimulants into his body to try to revive him, but he never did come out, he died. I talked to his brother-in-law, I said, "Zach, you saw how Joe went and you'll go the same way if you don't watch it." He said, "Preacher, don't talk to me. I'm all tore up about the way he died. It's tragic. I know he went to hell as far as we're concerned, but I ain't going. I'm smarter than Joe. Sometime after you get over the grief, I'll listen to you, but not now." 9 days later, he and his son-in-law was down at a sawmill. They both got to drinking and got to arguing over a paycheck, and his son-in-law picked up a hickory hand stick that skidded poles with, hit him upside the head and killed him instantly. He dropped in hell before he ever knew what hit him. I went to the cashier of the bank, a young man in our town. I said, "You and Joe and Zach ran together. They're both gone without God, and you're fixing to make it, buddy." He said, "First rate, don't try to scare me." He said, "I've got plenty of time." And he said, "If I got sense enough to run a bank and keep people money, I got sense enough to take care of my soul." I said, "Okay, but Clyde, you're going to wind up in hell." "Not me. I'm going inside. I ain't drinking no liquor to get killed in." But 47 days from that time, he went to the barber shop. He always went by the barber shop and got a shave before he opened up a bank. He's a cashier of our bank there in town. He picked up the daily paper, the commercial appeal, like the Charlotte Observer, took the daily paper out of Memphis as a commercial appeal, picked up the morning paper, sitting there reading, waiting for his turn to get a shave. Somebody else in the barber chair, and he's sitting in a chair, slumped out on the floor dead with a heart attack. The barber said, "Percy, never even drunk. He just fell out the floor dead." He didn't have time to say, "God have mercy," or "God help me." He's in hell. Now you listen to me, my friend. I'm seeing it happening everywhere I travel. I see those things happening.
Yes.
I was up at Mayfield, Kentucky. Paducah, Kentucky. An old man, 83 years old, got saved. He wanted me to go and talk to his millionaire son. His son was a multimillionaire. I went to his fine home to talk to him about God. He said, "Mr. Ray, the old man ought to got saved. He's 83. He's about ready to kick it. But I'm just 43. I got at least 40 years to go. All my people live to be 80. I appreciate your interest in my soul and my and God and so on, but I ain't got time to fool you. I'm making too much money." He had a bunch of slot machines and gambling devices around Cairo, Illinois, around the river, front that. He's taking in $7,000 and $8,000 a day on the weekends. He's making it fast. He said, "I appreciate you coming by." I said, "Yeah, but you could die with something." He said, "Listen to me." Said, "I just got back from the doctor. I have a physical checkup twice a year by the best clinic in the nation. You know what they told me? I had the best heart they'd ever listened to. And I was the best example of health. When I started out of that clinic, the doctor examined me, slapped me on the shoulder, and said, 'Buddy, the only way the funeral home will get you, they'll have to knock you in the head, you're so healthy.' What are you talking about? Trying to scare you." Said, "I appreciate you getting the old man saved, but I ain't got time for you. I'm making money." I said, "Okay, if that's the way you feel about it." I said, "That's the way I feel about it, the way I'm going to keep feeling. You get on with your business." I ain't got time to wait on you. I walked up. 4 to 5 days from there. Came a cloud burst in Paducah. Had a big ranch-style mansion. Full basement. The sewer stopped up. Spilling up with water. He said to his wife, "Where's my boots?" "Sit down." "No, sit down, man. I'll pull my shoes off." Sewer stopped up. Jacked his shoes off. Roll up his pant leg and step down in that water to unstop the sewer. "Light! Oh, sweet!" She dashed the wall and throwed the big electric switch, but it's too late. He's late. The high voltage line had shorted in that water. Gone that quick. All he ever said was a guggle, "Light blown switch." He's in hell. Don't brag about tomorrow.
Amen.
Today is your day, Father.
Yes.
Now is your time, friend.
Amen.
Yes. I was 7 miles south of Blytheville, Arkansas. We was out in the car, a fast-moving traffic, 61 highway like that, road about that. Many people, we moved out in the yard. It's summertime. Man and his wife parked their car across the road and got out and come across. Sitting there, I'd been preaching about 5 minutes. Man got up and gave his wife a yank up on the seat. Said, "Come on, let's go." Said, "We ain't got time to listen to that blanket night preacher. We can get religion later on. We got plenty of time to live. What are we fooling here for anyway?" They walked out. Just about the middle of 61 Highway, the main drag between Memphis and St. Louis. A drunk driver in a Mercury Roadster came down through there. Full board and accelerator. Must have been to make 100 miles an hour the way it sounded. Just they got in the middle of the road. Hit him both. Knocked him about 35, 40 feet down the highway. Crushed up them all and killed them instantly. Mr. Cobb, down the ticker, said, "Percy, there wasn't a whole bone left. Neither one of them, just a sack of crushed flesh is all it was." Less than a minute and a half ago, they cursed and said they had plenty of time. Listen, fella, don't you brag about your plenty of time. But you remember one thing, friend. You remember one thing. If you die without God, you're going to die suddenly. And you won't have time to say, "God, have mercy." And the Lord said, "Well, Brady, preacher, when they saw death coming, they said, 'God, have mercy.'" You know, I tell you a while ago, you can't jump down God's throat any time you take an ocean.
Amen.
Maybe they did say, "Lord, save me. God, have mercy. Or God, save me." But God wasn't ready.
Amen.
And if he ain't ready, you ain't going to get saved. You can holler and buck all you want to.
Amen.
Spirit of God even striving with you, buddy, you're not going to get saved.
Amen.
Just fucking cry all you want to. You don't jump down God's throat when you get ready.
Amen.
You just don't jump in God's arms when you get ready. Holy Ghost of God's got to be pulling on your heartstrings and drawing you, or you're not coming to God.
Amen.
Get saved, not get ready. No, you want to. God ain't ready, you ain't going to get saved. You get saved when God wants you.
Amen.
And I can stand here and tell you many other experiences. And give you the names and the places and the dates. We got time. But I can tell you one thing. If you think about the wicked men that's died in your community, they died the same way.
Amen.
And they died the same way. And I've had some to die right here in your state. Less than 75 miles here. I played with a man one night that's gray-headed. I said, "God's moving on a man's gray-headed in this building. Come to God." And I didn't know who he was, but I could see a gray-headed man standing there. That night when he walked out, he said to the preacher, "That preacher sure did like to get me, but I beat him in it tonight. He didn't get me." That was Friday night, Saturday night. He's a car salesman. He's driving a car down at Greenwood, South Carolina. A Pontiac car. He got it up to 80 miles an hour, see if it could hold together. All right, he's fixing to buy. And something went wrong. The highway hit a light post and tore him off to pieces quick. He didn't get by except to go to hell. Friend, when God wants you, that's a time to make an agreement with God and get in.
Amen.
That is danger number two, is a mental crack up. While you're sane and sinful, that's the time to get saved. You say, "Well, preacher, there's no insanity." And I found you got a lot of them over at Columbia that no insanity in their family. Right now, right now, right now, there may be some disease eating a nerve. You may not have any fever or pain from it that'll eat a nerve that'll leave you mentally sick before morning.
Right.
There may be a little tumor growing in your nervous system right now that's giving you no fever or no pain, that before morning will press a nerve out of balance and you'll be carried over to the state hospital and put in a padded cell. Just like you wake up with the earache or the toothache or the headache
wake up with a sick stomach or appendicitis, you can wake up mentally sick. And you listen, if you become mentally sick, you won't have sense enough to concentrate and think and get saved.
Amen.
While your brain's sane, while you're intelligent, while you got sense enough to think, God helped you to concentrate on this thing and pray to God and get your soul in the hands of Jesus.
Amen.
Safe in the arms of Jesus.
Amen.
I want you to realize, my friends, you can become mentally sick in a hurry and not have a chance to get saved. While you can think sanely, while you can think sensibly, while you're healthy mentally, God helped you to get your soul right with God.
Amen. Amen.
Because all of a sudden, you have a mental break, a nerve or a tumor, and then you're gone. While God's got you saved, while your mind puts you, won't you turn your thinking toward God and ask for salvation? Then there's another mental danger. Along with that one, another one in the book of Romans, the first chapter. I'll take time to read it to you. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteous fornication, wickedness, covetous, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, who knowing the judgment of God, the day which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
What? Since you didn't like to think on God, since you didn't like to think on God, since you didn't like to be bothered with the idea of getting saved and getting God in your heart, since you got smart at it, and got proud, and got rebellious, you don't want to think about God. You don't want to be bothered about God.
There comes that moment when God accommodates you and He erases the knowledge of God from your brain. That's what it means. Reprobating means He removes the knowledge of God from your brain. And then you don't have any more brakes to put on. Your fleshly, carnal, depraved nature takes over and you begin to get wicked and immoral and violent and vulgar, and you have no respect for God and you have no conscience anymore. You just live it up. And you hear me. When God reprobates your mind and removes the knowledge of God, you can't anymore get saved than a hog or a dog. Do you remember that Jesus said, don't give that which is holy to the dogs? Don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under the feet and turn and rend you to pieces.
Yes.
You know who he's talking about? Reprobated human beings.
Yes. Man.
No need to give them the holy things to a reprobated mind. No need to put your jewels of Christianity out there. They'll trample on the feet and turn and try to wreck your faith in God.
Yes.
Now then, listen to me, my friends. When God reprobates the mind, there's no more knowledge in that human mind of God than a dog or a hog. You'd come as near leading a dog or a hog to Christ as you could that human.
Amen.
Now, if you're in doubt about it, I can go to a place like Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm in Monroe, I'm sure. Go down on Wino Street. Drive down that street and I can point you out both men and women. And you get out and talk to them about God and they're grinning at you like a possum.
Right.
God? I'm waiting, God. Who's God? God? I'm waiting, God. Hey, didn't tell me where to get me some booze in a hot moment.
How is it?
But God, don't wait in there. Listen, you can talk to them till daylight, and they won't be a bit near converted than they was when you started.
Amen.
They just made you out of poverty. Sick there. They got a bit more knowledge than a dog or a hog. How long would it take you to lead a hound dog to Jesus or a swamp eating pig to Jesus? Well, Jesus said, you come as near leading one as you will the other.
Amen.
Their minds, the knowledge of God has been erased. God's given them over to a reprobate mind. God's through with them. You remember that scripture I read you last night? Let me turn back and read that to you again. In the book of Second Thessalonians, I just want you to get these things together, sort of help you.
Second Thessalonians, the second chapter. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now there comes a time when God will reprobate your mind and give you over to strong delusions and turn you over, that you can believe lies and be damned because you didn't want to seek righteous living.
Amen.
Amen. Now go ahead and buck it if you want to, but God will reprobate your poor mind and you are sunk. Let me illustrate what I'm trying to say. I was down at Tampa, Florida, in Seminole Heights Baptist Church in a meeting. Young man come to talk to me, some seats like this. Young man brought him in, wanted me to talk with him. I said, bring him in at the church. And preached, and the crowd went away and they came in. I said, what's your problem, son? He said, can we bring our girlfriend in? I said, where are they? I said, they're on the street. I said, they don't need to be on the street, out there in the car. Bring them in. I said, you want to go back to study and talk to me privately? He said, no, I don't care if they can. I said, okay. When the girls got in, I said, what's your problem? He said, Mr. Ray, I can't find God in my thinking. I've been to every pastor in town, every man's been here for 2 years, none of them helped me. And I thought maybe since you and you man, you'd help me. I said, you can't find God in your thinking, what do you mean? He said, I don't think there's a God. I said, are your parents Christians? He said, well, if you're talking about being members of the Methodist Church and going every time the doors open, they are. They're members of the First Methodist Church and going every time the doors open, saying, teach Christ and so on. That's what you call Christianity. But I believe in God. And I said, may I ask you some questions? And he said, help this out. I said, was there ever time when you were born, you believe this God? He said, preacher, all the kids believe this God, you know. It's emotional thinking. I said, yeah, you're right. I said, was there ever a time when you felt like you prayed to God as a little boy and God heard you and answered your prayer? You felt like you were talking to God and he answered you? I said, why every kid feels that? Sure I did. I said, is there a time when you watched the sun go down and the redness of it heat up and the glow hit in the sky and something said, come on, there's a beyond? He said, you're talking about emotion. Oh, get that, man. And I said, then there was a time when you believed as a God as a little boy. He said, yeah. Was a time when you prayed to that God and felt like God answered your prayer? He felt the tug of another word. He said, yeah, I'll confess that. But there ain't no God. I'm an intellect now, you know. I'm intelligent. I said, yeah. Now another question, sir. May I ask? He said, sure. I said, when did you quit? Quit what? When did you quit believing this or God? When? Sweat popped out and he turned pale in the face and said, nobody never asked me that. I said, but I have. Answer me. So I hadn't thought about it. His chin quivered. Said, it's like this. I went over to State University of Florida and interviewed over there. The greatest scholar. Professor has the greatest scholastic standing of any man in the nation. Was one of the teachers, and he tell us to hang our God and our soul on the door knob before we came in that classroom too. He tells us to believe in hell, help your after me. He said he'd make fun of Jesus Christ and God and tear the young people up. I saw he's doing it to make fun, to tear them up, and I took sides with him. He gave me some of Bob Ingersoll's and Tom Paine's books on infidelity, and I read them. And I got to where I could argue as good as he could, and I took sides with him to be popular with him. One day the class was full of young people. He took that period, instead of teaching a lesson, throw up on God, make fun of Jesus Christ, hell, have human souls hereafter. Instead of a bunch of young people just chewing their fingers, there's a crime and taking on, and he's a laughing at it. And instead, some of them got up and said, we won't sit and listen to such mess and walked down.
Amen. Amen.
Instead of a poor little girl sitting right behind me, all got up together and put and said, but that's what? Said, I jumped up. I was in the seat in front of them. Turned around and swung my fist in their faces. And I said, there is no back in this back. I said, when I did stop, something slipped. And I started crying. I couldn't keep from it. His girlfriend and the other boy and his girlfriend started crying. We got our man wet before God for midnight.
walked out of Seminole Heights Baptist Church and walked down Seminole Street in Tampa, Florida, and stood there in the corner of the street and stopped this foot and cursed the apple that he gave to the university program. But he never got with God. Now let me tell you something. God will reprobate your mind just that quick, which means he slips the knowledge of God out of it, and you're as dead towards God as a dog or a hog. Where's the danger? You know, people talk to you about Jesus and get all jittery inside and all tore up and nervous. I wish y'all quit talking about God. Leave me alone. Get me upset. Don't bother. Does it still bother you when people talk to you about the Lord? Do you still feel jittering, tore up, nervous, trying to get it inside? If so, get on your prayer knees and thank God there's still a chance.
Amen.
Because if you can laugh at it and poke fun at it, you're doomed to see.
Amen.
You're sure the hell is a devil. Where's the danger point? Here he is. Somebody comes in and said, talk to you about Christian, and you pitch your little tantrum fit. Shut up about God! I'm sitting tired of this God stuff. It's God for breakfast, it's God for dinner, it's God for supper, it's God on the job, it's God at school. Everywhere I go, it's God this and God that. I'm sitting tired of this God stuff. Shut up about God! And you pitch your little tantrum one of these days. Something off. And the next time we talk to you about God, you won't get aggravated. You won't get angry. You won't get upset. When they mention God, you say, God? Who's God? God. Oh, God. I am God. You don't see him. God's as through with you as a doctor's a dead man. That means he's done. He's give you up. He's reprobated your mind. You are doomed for hell. You believed the lie to be damned. That's what's happened to you.
Amen.
You're done for.
Amen.
My friends, if it still gets you jittery inside and sort of aggravated and upset when people talk to you about Jesus, get on your knees and thank God you still got a chance at Jesus.
Amen.
I was so mama, your wife and them would quit crying, praying on me. No, you don't. Once they leave that burden, you're gone. Danger number three. Danger one, sudden death. Danger and delay. Number two is a mental sickness or a reprobated mind. Danger number three, Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
You should come before I get through and save me a trip back to Mississippi.
Amen.
He's your Lord Jesus coming. Oh, no, 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 preacher. What's the matter?
Amen.
He's a coming.
Amen.
He's a coming. How quick? And a wink, wink's too soft. He's coming in a twinkle of an eye.
Amen.
And a twinkle of an eye is before you can say, God have mercy or God save me. It's too late. When he comes, it's over. And my friends, he said, when this gospel has been preached in the four ends of the earth, then he'll come. It's reached the four ends of the earth.
Amen.
He said,
amen,
just before he comes, when you see the buds of a tree putting forth, you know summer's nigh. And when you see the great falling away, you know my coming's nigh. And there's never been a time when so many preachers are quitting the churches, and so many preachers and teachers quitting the churches, and deacons quitting the churches, and their churches are empty with people. You can't hardly get enough together. Most churches have a revival.
Amen.
There's a great fall away because iniquity is about it.
Amen.
That don't discourage me. Thank God, I think he's a coming.
Yeah.
Amen.
He said, when you see that, you know my coming's right around the corner. Sinner, some of these mornings you're going to wake up, and that Christian husband, Jonas, is laying there in the bed, and he's gone.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you wicked husband want to wake up, and that Christian wife's gown or pajamas lying in the bed, and the clothes she pulled off lying there, but she's gone.
Amen.
Some of you mamas and dad's going to get up, and those little old children who haven't come to age accountability, they're gone. There's their little gowns, little pajamas, but they're gone. Some of you young people are going to wake up, mom and daddy's gone. Their pajamas and gowns laying there, and their clothes are pulled off, and the house is still up, but they're gone. And some of you parents are going to get, and your young people's gone.
You're going to be a great stir. People don't really know I'm not sure anybody missed the time. Yeah, so-and-so missed my house. My wife's gone. Or my husband's gone. My mama's daddy's gone. What's happened? Oh, what's happened? What's happened? Run back in the house and get on the news media.
Special news bulletin. Greyhound Bus Company announces this morning at 2:30 that Mary Passage, part of the driver, suddenly disappeared from the Greyhound buses and trailway buses. And the buses are wrecked and people are dying in twisted steel of the wreckage. Special news bulletin this morning. Fast trains announced at 2:30 many of the passengers and some of the crew suddenly disappeared and the trains are wrecked and twisted steel. People are dying. Spiritual news bulletin this morning at 2 o'clock. Many of the factories closed down because a lot of the employees suddenly disappeared. Spiritual news bulletin this morning at 2 o'clock. The hospitals and announced that there was many patients and some nurses and some doctors suddenly disappeared. Special news bulletin this morning at 2:30 there was a traffic jam in St. Louis and in Chicago and in Charlotte and Los Angeles and San Francisco and in Latter Miami because many drivers of buses and cars and trucks suddenly disappeared.
Amen.
And there's traffic jams. Special news bulletin this morning at 2 o'clock the funeral homes all over the nation announced that about 2:30 in the morning there were a lot of corpses left out of the caskets. Jesus has come. That's what's happened. He's come.
Amen.
It's too late for you to get saved. He's coming as a king next time. He's come to save you this time, but he's coming to save you next time. He's coming to reign.
It'll
be too late for you to get saved. Now is the time. Today is the day. In a twink of an eye, he's come. Some of these nights, this church is going to leave you. Amen. Your old cussing of the spitting willow clubs of these storefronts, spitting and a whittling, chewing on tobacco, whittling and cussing, going to say, what's all wrong? Not what to do a little bit. Oh, my. Gonna come peep and peep hole, and all they're gonna see is y'all's clothes and something like that. Boy, you done left the house.
Go ahead.
Be too late then, friend.
Amen.
Don't brag about tomorrow. Number four. First sudden death. Mental sickness, a reprobated mind, or sudden coming to Jesus. Number four, last but not least, God said, my spirit will always strive with man. Lest you be so profane, you'd sell your change for a mess of pottage, and later on seek a place of repentance and never find it. When the spirit of God leaves a man, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Let me read you some scripture, if you will, right out of the word of God. Listen to it. Right out of the book. Because I've called you and refused, I've stretched out my hand, no man regarded. But you've said it not all my accounts would, none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When your destruction angels cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I'll not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated the knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord thy God. They would none of my counsel, they despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. Then listen to this. Therefore pray not for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I'll not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them which they shall not be able to escape, and though they shall cry unto me, I'll not hearken unto them. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. Then listen to this. My friends, along with that, we turn on over and read these words found over here in the book of John. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. Comes a time when God blinds your mind, hardens your heart, closes your eyes, and you can't see the way to go. That's what he's talking about. My friends, nobody can pray for you. God's lifted the burden of prayer. And I mean, when God lifts the burden of prayer, that means it's all over with. God helped you to realize that. Then we turn to the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter. and fourth verse. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have what? Tasted of the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come. Who is it? Ones that have been so moved upon by the Holy Ghost that they tasted the heavenly gift. They tasted the word of God. They tasted the powers of the world to come. For Jesus said, he that eateth and he that drinketh, not he that tasteth. A lot of folks taste, but never drink.
Amen.
But never eat. What is they so enlightened that they can just taste the heavenly gift? So enlightened they can just taste the good word of God, the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away from that, it's impossible to renew them again unto what? Unto repentance, not unto salvation. They ain't been there.
Amen.
That's right. Seeing they crucify the Son of God to fresh and put him to an open shame, the same person can't crucify him and put him to an open shame.
Right.
Well, you know, here, I'll illustrate it. I come along and I describe this man perfectly. Color of his hair, color of his eyes, color of his clothes, and everything. The one that he's never met. And while I'm describing him to him, he walks in. Listen, are you here? It is me. Ronnie Turner said, oh, me. That it insult him and insult me. He never feel like trying to meet Ronnie here.
And I never feel like trying to introduce him to this.
Amen. That's what he's saying.
Yes.
Jesus Christ comes along. The Holy Ghost has made Jesus so close to Ronnie, he can just taste it, he can just feel it, he just can see it in his own mind's eye, he can feel it, he can taste it, and he feels the power of the Lord. And the Holy Ghost said, Ronnie Simpson, this is Jesus God's Son.
Yeah,
he sent him. And Ronnie said, oh, I don't want it. I don't want to dance, I don't want to drink, I don't want to run after my women. I don't want it. What's he done? He insulted the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
He trampled the blood of the Son of God under his feet.
Yeah,
God is
strong. That's right.
The Holy Ghost is strong. We shall move on.
Amen.
Esau did it, didn't he?
Right.
Amen. There was the birthright, the priesthood was for salvation. And when it was offered, he said, give me the pottage. I want the birthright. Birthright, take it! Give me pottage.
Right.
He got his belly full of a pottage. But the book said, after he saw a place of repentance, the rest of his life, the men he found.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I said in the book of Hebrews, that you trample on the foot the blood of the Holy One, done despite the spirit of grace, and there remaineth no more sacrifice for your sins. And that's what he's talking about. You've sinned against God to the extent that there isn't any more chance. The Holy Spirit's left. God's through. You're doomed. Give you an illustration or two. I was up in Kentucky in a meeting. Power of God had fell. 120 got saved in about 20 minutes. And there's a girl back in there that was a dancing master, a bathing beauty, nightclub entertainer. The young people went and she laughed at them. Her daddy went and she shoved him away. Her mother went and she run her back to her seat. Real ugly. When I started back to talk to her, she ran out the door. When she got to the door, the power of God was on her, she couldn't get through. And she run up and something hold. She'd run up and try to go through and something hold. And the next time she run up, she'd throw her hands on the casing of the door and pull through. And when her feet hit the ground out in front, God left her. She fell face foremost and began to scream like no woman I've ever heard scream before or since, and I hope I never hear another scream like it. I ran out behind her. Dr. Goff, the pastor of the church, ran right behind me. There's about 1,600 people in that building. And I said, Doctor, slip your hands on her, get out of the traffic. Down comes the people. There's excitement. They're wondering what she's screaming about.
You hear all through the house, horrible, terrifying scream. We slipped our hands under her, brought him later over on the grass. And of course, the hounds was empty. Nobody saying, what's the matter, what's the matter? And I got out on my knees and bowed over by the side of her, and I said, dear girl, what in the world happened? Said, Professor Ray, when I left that through that door, God's Holy Ghost left me, and I damned my soul. He told me so. And she began to scream. People got on their knees. Some of them prostrated themselves on the lawn, wept before God, and God never helped her. At midnight, they picked her up and carried her home as limber as that handkerchief. 11 months later, I was by that, went to see her, and her eyes down behind her cheekbone. She's a skeleton now. Her fingers bleeding where she chewed, and the nails off to the fix, and her lips bleeding. And I woke up and I said, young lady, remember me? Yeah, the preacher that preached with God after that night. Preacher, I thought if I leave God off, I could entertain the nightclubbers and dance some more and win another mixed bathing test contest. But since God left, I can't see people. I can't stay around people. The ashes in the stove is good as what Mama cooks my food. Now, like eating ash, I'm going to hell. And she ran and grabbed me and shook me and said, get out of here. Get out of here. Whoa, American, tell everybody not to wave. It's too late for me. You can't help me. I'm going to hell, preacher. I'm gone. And shoved me back in the yard. And I drove away with my body shivering and shocked. A few days later, she died a terrible death. Right now, where Kentucky Lake stands, above Paducah, Kentucky, I was there in a place of a meeting. Power of God fell one night, and many were being saved. A young man, 18 years of age, came to the altar, shaking all over like he had a chill. Tears running off his cheeks on the conviction. And I read God's word and explained the plan of salvation, prayed to him, and I looked up and I said, CD, will you take Jesus now? He'd shake his head, and I'd pray and read the word and explain. And I said, will you accept Jesus now? About 3 times, he got up and walked the edge of that fresh ark and said, oh, devil, I don't know God tonight. He got a long breath right quick and jumped and ran through the wood hall and come back. God, I didn't mean it. But God never come back. They caught him around, some men running after him. Caught him a mile and a half from there, still running, begging God to come back, but he never come. 3 months later, C.D. died, tied on his bed with seagrass rope, half-inch seagrass rope, screaming, I'm going to hell, God's gone. Seaside, California. I was there, second night, a girl, very beautiful girl, prettiest girl I think I've ever seen, was back in the congregation. The invitation went on. She's trembling, holding the back of the seat. I went back and we sang one song of prayer, 3 songs of prayers, 4 songs of prayer, and then the 5th stanza song. I went back and I said, will you come, little lady? She's shaking her head and tears are streaming. I said, oh, please come. She started toward the aisle. I said, thank God, that's it. Come on. Come on, precious girl. Come on. And she stepped back, stood up as a soldier to teach him. Shook her head. Her emotions calmed. Her tears left. And that was it. I said to the preacher, I said, dismiss this is all of it tonight. Next night she wasn't there. Next night she came, sat in the back and looked like a corpse. The next night she sat about middle ways and looked like a corpse. The next night was the last night of the meeting. She came down there in the auditorium and said to me, always sit down at the front. She said, Mr. Ray, you remember me? I said, the girl from right back over there said, you're right. Said, I'm fixing to tell you something that's nearly going to kill you and embarrass you today. I said, you want to step aside? She said, no, I want the whole crowd to hear. I said, okay, tell it. She said, I damn my soul hanging on a brass hat armor officer. I leaped to my feet. I said, what? She said, I damn my soul hanging on a brass hat armor officer. I said, what do you mean? Said, I'm a little brass hat armor officer, not some little buck private. One of the fellows has got his own plane and his crew. He's flown me to Paris, France, and dined and danced me. He's flown me all over the world, dancing me. He furnishes that Cadillac convertible, all this diamond jewelry I'm wearing, all this silk clothes I'm wearing, all that my expenses are paid. He's got a wife and a couple of little girls, but he likes me too. And when I started out, God said, if he'd take Jesus, that man! And all the good times in the Cadillac's gone. Said, I stepped back and said, I won't give up that brass hat on those and that Cadillac and them clothes. How the hell for I've given up? And said, God left me. And he's gone, Percy Ray. I'm going to hell with that brass hat on yours. people began to cry out loud, raise their hands. I said, "What?"
Said, "Let us pray. Don't you preach. Let us pray to fill the aisles and fill the altar." We prayed till 4 o'clock in the morning.
And she got up in the midst and said, "God's a billion miles. I'm going to hell with that brassette armrest," and walked out. And I left that night. Come home. 6 months later, one of those pastors called me and said, "Told me she's dead." And said, I said, "She's the most horrible thing I've ever witnessed in all my life." Said, "They strapped on the bed with half-inch leather straps, 3 inches wide, and she broke them. They got 4 big men as big as you are, person, put one on each wrist and one on each ankle, and she'd scream and lift them off on the floor and shake them like a dog shaking a rag." And said she'd scream, "I'm going to hell! God's death! I'm going to hell!" with that brass head armor. And she'd go into convulsion and cure Tom. And said, "I saw a doctor shoot opium till all her veins rebelled and wouldn't take any more dope." And she'd scream, "I'm going to hell." And she went in a convulsion, chewed till her tongue fell out of her mouth, hanging on a piece of skin, her pillar wet and drenched in her own blood from that tongue she chewed off. And said she screamed, "I'm going to hell." And said, "Percy, the most horrible look on a human face that I've ever witnessed in all of my life was on her face, and she's dead." Friend, listen. God don't have to pray of you. Now's the time. Today is the day. Up here in another part of this country, in the state of Colton North, I prayed with a girl one night about becoming a Christian, and she said, "Preacher, I can't." I said, "Why?" She said, "It was an evening gown. I've always wanted an evening gown ever since I was a little bitty girl. One of these big bell-bottom evening gowns and dance with a boy in the bright lights." And said, "Yesterday I went to town and brought that evening gown. And tomorrow night is a junior, senior, prom, high school dance. I'm going to dance with him under the bright lights with that evening gown on, and then I'll consider God." Her daddy was by the side of her, and I was by the side of her. We were both crying. And I said, "Little lady, do you understand how to be saved?" She said, "Yes, but I'm going to wear that gown. I won't do it all my life. I'm going to satisfy my one life's desire." I said, "Will you forget that gown and turn to God today?" She jumped up and said, "Nah, I'll do it." And out the door she went. She wore it the next evening. She danced the next evening. But if she hasn't died, I had letters from some of the young people in the area recently. She's walking the roads at night. "Going down, but God's gone. Going down, but God's gone. Going down, but God's gone." My spirit shall not always strive with men. Listen to this, and I'm through. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Comes a time when no man can retain the spirit. Now, friend, if the spirit of God's being you tonight, I'd hit this altar.
Yes.
And if you wouldn't, I'd run down here and get people to pray that he would be.
Yes. Amen.
We're going to stand and sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. If you were here without God, while the Spirit of God's dealing you, I'd hit this altar. I don't care who you are, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, or where you are. If you're without God tonight, I beg you to come to this place tonight and let Jesus save your soul. Will you do it? While we sing, God help us. Come on, let's stand and sing.